You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hey, I'm JC.
Hey, and I'm Will.
And you're listening to... You're listening to Dude Podcast.
Hey. Of course you are. What else would you be listening to? NPR?
Seriously, although I do love a good NPR.
I do too. How I Built That with Guy Raz.
Ooh. I feel like all those names are fake. There's so many, like, I'll be listening to NPR and I'm like, this is not this guy's real name. Guy Raz.
You're listening to The Silver Spoon with Chester Whittlesneeves. That's not a real name.
Terry Gross is sort of Philadelphia NPR legend.
Who?
Terry Gross. She does Fresh Air. She did all the interviews. She ain't no Guy Raz as far as good names are concerned.
Guy Raz is a good one. Actually, that's a pretty cool name.
We have, there are, Cherry Gregg is another one up here. Cherry Gregg.
Cherry Gregg? Like cherry, like...
Cherry
the fruit?
I think it's Cherry Gregg here, and I'm always like, Cherry Gregg? Well, I'm really upset because I'm wearing my little Red October. Look at my adorable, for anyone who's on YouTube, look at that adorable sweatshirt. He's a cute little ghost, Philly, who's... And you know what? That might as well have been the Phillies in that series. They might have well been dressed up as ghosts because they...
There were holes in their bats.
There were holes in their bats. They clearly couldn't see very well, couldn't throw very well. But it was a long, painful death for the Phillies midway through the year.
So your team is obviously the Phillies. My team, if you can see on YouTube, I've got this whole... Milwaukee Brewers decoration. I'm wearing a Milwaukee Brewers hat. I'm a big Milwaukee Brewers fan. You know, both of our teams got beat by the same team in the playoffs.
The filthy Mets.
The filthy. I bet they don't call their grandmothers on the reg.
No, of course not.
Because they're Mets.
They're Mets. I will say, though, I do appreciate the Mets just because most ridiculous mascot. And honestly, like, it's a bold move. Like, it really is a power move to say, hey, you know what our mascot should be? What if it's just a baseball?
And we call it Mr. Met.
Yeah, we'll name him Mr. Met. And they're like, well, isn't that kind of ostentatious? I mean, there's all these other baseball teams, and you're claiming the actual baseball. That's like a football with arms and legs being your mascot. I mean, that's and naming him like Mr. Packer or Mr. Patriot or something like that. But yeah, sure. And then to go even a step further, they felt like, listen, we may be, you know, we may not be reaching out to all the demographics that could be interested in baseball. So let's let there be Miss Lady Met. Miss Met, I believe, is her name.
I didn't know that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's also Miss Met.
Talking about mascots, I mean... Who's more legendary than the Fanatic? Philly's Fanatic.
I don't know if there's any more enjoyable mascot in baseball.
Or at least any more notorious.
Maybe in all sports. I mean, he's up there. He's certainly one of the best. Worst mascot in all sports. Dallas had a mascot, and I think they've been trying to kill him for years, called Mavs Man, I believe was his name.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, like, I was thinking Mavs Man.
Mavs Man is like...
It's the stuff of nightmares.
So his skin is like basketball material. He's just like a... He's like a man, but he's just like a man covered in literally whatever the material is that they create a basketball with. He's not likable. He's not... I feel like your job as a mascot is just...
It's for kids.
It's for kids. Be cute. Be something you can put on a t-shirt. Mavs Man is what you'd see in a dark alleyway. It's like a Freddy Krueger-esque thing. It's horrifying.
I was about to say, it looks like Marvel's stupidest superhero.
And the funny thing about the Mavs organization is they have like four or five mascots, and they can't, they're all a mess, and they can't figure out when to kill one and move one on because they keep reintroducing them. Yeah, those that Mavs man has to be up there is far and away one of the worst. So we had a lot of win today. You know, I have an inflatable little Halloween thing that I had to take down because it was too dusty. So I don't know if you know, like my dogs are morons. Like, I love my dogs, but they're very, very dumb. And Charlie never learned to go to the restroom on the grass. So he just goes on the sidewalk. So there's all these, it's awful. So that every day there's these little landmines on like the walking area of the, you have to dodge them. But it was so windy that his little doggy turns were blowing. They were blowing like some kid blowing away, like blowing away.
Do you not pick up your dog's poop from the sidewalk?
I do, but you would not, like this dog, the amount of turns he produces in such a short time, it's incredible. He'll go 4 to 6 times a day.
Wow.
And it's back to back.
Are you feeding him poop? Like, what makes him poop so much?
But no, I don't. I remember hearing one time from my cousin that I guess they took their little pom. Remember that little Pomeranian that they had, Romo? Do you remember the weird little Pomeranian? So this little Pomeranian and this dog, it would, you know, despite its size, it would have bowel movements that were like literally like a third of the size of the dog.
Oh my God.
Well, supposedly they took him to the vet and the vet said, oh my goodness, this dog has a megacolon. They said a megacolon. Yeah, he has a megacolon. I guess it had some sort of a, like, it's a rare condition where this dog can just produce giant amounts of.
Wow.
But I think that Charlie also has a megacolon on him.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, it's not helping him lose weight at all because that guy, my dog is Norm from Cheers as a dog.
Yeah, he's a big old pup. Megacolon is kind of a good name for like a metal band.
Be a great name for a metal band.
Megacolon? Are you kidding me?
I don't know. We're here with Megacolon. We're going to make you poop your britches. There we go.
As they get older, they're great spokespeople for like getting your colon checked regularly. Like, we could rock out and then we're going to get a golden screening. Ah.
Are you ready, dog? And the dog's like, I am. And the dog just like, he's cleaning up his hands. He's got like a big glove on and he's, that's right.
Here's the thing. How many illnesses can you detect just by having a finger in your butt? Because prostate, colon cancer, like, is there anything else? Like, where do you think, how do you think a doctor can tell all that by putting his finger up there?
I think they can figure out a lot. Because I think about it. Like, it's got a lot of action going on there. You know what I mean? Like every day, potentially, especially if you have a megacolon. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So I think there's a lot that can go awry. You know, I think it's kind of like you know, the washing machine, right? It's not too interesting unless it breaks, and then all of a sudden you learn about all the intricate parts of that washing machine.
Here's what doesn't make sense to me: a doctor will put on a glove and put his finger in arguably your grossest area, right? But with your mouth, he's got to use a stick. That doesn't make any sense. Maybe they're afraid of getting your finger bitten off. Why not your ear hole? Why don't they put their fingers in your ear hole?
I think he's got to be. I think, unfortunately, it's a little bit like certain things he's got to feel, man. And that's all you got. I think you can see more. You can still see more in your mouth and see more in your ears and stuff. You can go in and.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I want to shift a little gears here. So this weekend, my family and I, we drove to Missouri. We drove to the border of Missouri and Illinois, southeast Missouri. My wife's family has a farm out there. And so we went out there for a wedding and we had a good time. And we left on a Thursday, got back on a Sunday, right?
What sort of a drive are we talking about?
This, with kids, including stops, is probably a good 8 to 9 hours.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's a long drive. Yeah.
Oh, man. See, I'm used to St. Louis, where that was 6 hours, which that felt like about 2 hours too long. I feel like 4 hours is like the perfect, like that's the...
It's a long drive, dude. It's really long. I mean, thank God it's at least Missouri is really pretty. You're in the Ozarks, so it's really pretty, you know?
Yeah, it's much better than, like, say, driving. Kansas is brutal, man. People don't understand. Like, I always try to explain to some people that have never had to do that. I'm like, the worst drive I've ever been a part of is when you drive, if you go from Oklahoma to Colorado and you go through Kansas, decide to go back, if you go that route, I think probably the most common or probably the easiest way, most direct way to get to the Denver area. There is a stretch, it's hours, and it's like, it's hell. It's just nothing. And it's cold. And it's cold, too. It's really, really cold and awful. But luckily, Missouri got some hills. It's pretty. It's pretty. You got trees. It's got some low mountains, some low range mountain, kind of like hilly, mountainy. It's nice.
It's gorgeous, especially this time of year.
Yep.
And so we leave early Thursday. We wanted it. So because it's a long drive, we decide, okay, we're going to wake up early with the boys. We're going to try to get there by dinner, right? So we're hurrying them Thursday morning. We pack up, we leave. On Sunday, when we're headed home, usually when I take a trip, I'm checking my SimpliSafe app just to kind of make sure everything's good. Usually, you know, if somebody breaks in, I'll get an alert. But, you know, just to be safe, I check, right? We just get on the road. I'm like, I'm going to check the app real quick just to make sure, you know, I haven't checked it yet in the 3 days we've been gone. I check the app. The alarm's not on. And I'm like, that's weird. Maybe I just forgot to set it. And I look at the video. I have a video showing my front door. I have a video showing my back door. I look at the video showing my front door. Door's wide open. And I go, I call my wife, Joe. I said, Joe, I think someone broke into our house. And she's like, what? I said, our door is wide open. Our alarm's off. I never got a notification about it. I think somebody broke in. So we kind of start panicking. We're calling all our neighbors. None of them are answering. So we're like, screw it. Let's just call the cops. So we call the police and say, hey, we think our house is broken into. We're on a trip. The door's wide open. We're staying in our video. The door's wide open. And they said, okay, we'll send police out. And I call my dad and I tell him. I said, hey, you know, we think our house is broken into. We call the police. So there's nothing worse than just having to sit and wait for the police to tell you if your house has been broken into. It was terrible. So about 10 minutes goes in. My wife is watching the live feed on our thing. She goes, okay, the police are in here. And they're kind of walking around. And then my dad comes in. And they're kind of talking. We can't hear what they're saying. And then eventually my dad calls. He's like, well, there was no, you know, sign of, you know, forced entry. And we're like, okay, we'll check to make sure our laptops and my camera for work, like make sure everything is there. He said everything looks good, no broken windows, nothing. And like the keys to our other car were right there on the entryway table. Like nothing, nobody took anything. Nobody kicked in a window or anything. We're like, what the heck happened? And we get home and we're just thinking about it. And I'm like, did you just forget to close the door? Because my wife was the last person in, and you know, we were frantically hurrying to leave to get on the road. And our best guess is we just forgot to close the door.
Dude, so how long was the door open?
So 3.5 days.
Did you find any like critters in your house?
No. No, because, well, there is a screen door. There is a screen door, at least. So there's a screen door that you can see through, and then there's the door. But then I thought about it. I was like, maybe that's a smart thing to do, because we had a car in the driveway. We had a timer on some lights, so the lights went on at night and went off during the day. And I'm thinking, like, if I'm somebody robbing a house, would you go into a house that was just, like, the door was open, the screen door is closed, and the lights were on, car in the driveway? No! Maybe that's the better way to do it.
That's the move, dude. We need to create a security team.
Psychological
security team that, yeah, to that point, it's just, hey, it's so clear. They have to be home, because who on earth, you know, just leaves a screen door there?
I'm not gonna rob that house. Whoever lives there is ballsy enough to just leave the door open at night.
Wow, dude.
Has your home ever been broken into?
No, I've never had. No. But my parents did. My parents.
In there, the home that I know?
They had their Ford Taurus, I think, got joyrided.
That's kind of funny.
That's what's a little scary, though, is I think we were actually in the house when it happened. Somebody came in the house, took the keys, and then decided that, hey, I'm going to joyride a 99 Ford Taurus, and it ended up, you know, somewhere.
Well, hold on a second. Because in high school, you used to just, like, leave the keys in the car and the car unlocked all the time.
Well, I never had left the keys in the car. I used to leave it unlocked. And that's until I got my radio stolen out of the Asbury parking lot. And I remember I swore in front of a Pastor Dick Reed. I said a naughty word in front of Pastor Dick Reed after my stereo system that I'd asked for Christmas was stolen out of there. I think I was like, son of a... randomly. Pastor Dick Reed, I think he was kind of like...
He understood.
I felt bad after saying that. I think I even like made eye contact with him afterwards, and he was kind of like, gave me like a nod of like, it's okay. This is the appropriate time to use that light.
Dude, one time when Jordan and I were just newly married, this is like the first year of marriage. It's a Saturday night. It's like 1:30. Jordan's asleep. For whatever reason, I was still up watching a movie. And we're in your apartment, right? We're on the third floor of this apartment building, right? 1:30 in the morning, watching a movie, and all of a sudden I hear a knock on the door. I'm like, why would anybody need to knock on my door? It's not like the volume was loud, so I'm like, who? And I looked at the people, and it's two guys dressed and they're like, they look kind of disheveled. They got, you know, these beards, all like hairs everywhere. Like they're just
did they look like the Sticky Bandits from Home Alone?
Yeah, dude, they kind of looked like the Sticky Bandits. They were not well kept. It wasn't like they were in uniform. It wasn't like they were cops or plumbers or whatever. And so I'm like, maybe I'll ignore them. Maybe they think they're at the wrong apartment. And they knock on the door even louder. I'm like, what the heck? And it wakes up Jordan. She comes out. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like whispering, like, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't know who they are. It's just two men. And we had our like recycling near the front door. And so I had a wine bottle there and I picked it up, like ready to like bash someone's head in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he knocks one more time really loud, and I'm like, just go away. I'm thinking, just go away. Know that, like, you're this locked. Like, you're not going to get me tonight. All of a sudden, the door handle starts jiggling, and they're messing with it. I'm like, what? And the door opens. I'm like, how did they open this? So I freak out. I slam the door back in, and I go, what do you want? I scream. I go, what do you want? And he goes, we're here to fix the plumbing. And I said, how do I know you're here to fix the plumbing? You don't have a uniform or anything. He's like, your neighbor downstairs called. There's like leaking. And we had this back and forth for like 2 minutes. I'm like, you're knocking on my door at 1:30. Like, how am I? I'm not just going to let you in. You're not in uniform or anything. And finally, I forget what happened, but somehow he convinced me. I even told him when he came, I said, you scared, dude, you scared me. Like, this can't be protocol, just going and knocking on someone's door. He's like, yeah, well, there's a leak in your neighbor, in your downstairs neighbor's basement. We have to fix it. I'm like, you have to have better protocol than this.
Yeah, you just need to explain, like, why you're there. Hey, I'm a plumber. I know this is weird. Like, what in the world, man?
I had some adrenaline going that night.
Dude, you're about to throw...
I was about to commit murder with an empty wine bottle.
Seriously, dude, that would have been awful.
Right, a general death.
Oh, man. I don't know. I might have just knocked him out. I don't know if you would have killed him. But, man, that's pretty scary. Well, I can't remember if I shared this story on the podcast, so I apologize for all you duties who listen. But... So we had the tourists get joyrided out of our home. And again, that was scary because they had to come in and gotten the keys out of the mudroom, you know, where we have a dryer and washer or whatever. So my dad got a U-Haul stolen in Dallas. I can't remember if I share, again, I apologize if I don't share this story, but it's one of my favorite stories because it was one of the best calls I've ever received. We're like, so I drove down my dad. So my sister, my youngest sister was moving out of a house. She lived in with like seven girls at University of Oklahoma. And they, like, the good news was, like, you know, it was just basically, I don't want to call it junk, but it was just like, I'm sure it had like sentimental value, but like wasn't like expensive stuff. It was like, you know, costumes she had and some shoes and some clothes. Like, it was just sort of like extra stuff that, like, you know, it probably didn't even really require a U-Haul. It probably could have like been a truck or something, but maybe there was a mattress. I think maybe there was a mattress. That might have been why we had the U-Haul. Maybe it was a mattress, like a bed frame or something like that. You know, just enough that, like, you couldn't necessarily do it in, like, a van. Maybe you could have done it in a van, but anyway. So me and my dad, I go to OU. I help him pack it up. And then we drive down to Dallas where she's moving. And my dad, I can't remember. I think it was just maybe because she was, like, living in a one-bedroom apartment or had a roommate or something. Like, my dad stayed at a hotel room. Right. And I ended up staying with Troy, friend of the pod. And then the next day, we're supposed to go. I think it was, but we had to go to a wedding the next day. So, like, I kind of used it, just kind of worked perfectly where me and my dad drove down the U-Haul. I could go stay with friends and then go the rest of the way to a wedding down in San Antonio further down. And Finger getting a call, like, 9 in the morning from my dad, and he was just like, hey, you remember the U-Haul that we drove down in? And I'm like, yeah, I do, because I drove 4 hours with you, 5 hours with you in that U-Haul. He's like, yeah, it's gone. I'm like, what? Yeah, so I've looked around the parking lot, like, I don't know, like 100 times, and it is gone. So sure enough, like, the U-Haul got hotwired, or I don't know, there's some other way to potentially, you know, drive away that U-Haul. Yeah, the U-Haul literally got stolen for like half a day.
That, well, they found it?
Yeah, they found it. They found it like 15 miles away half a day later, and, you know, a lot of the contents were gone. But again, it was all like, it was like a cow costume. And, like, I don't know, some designer shoes and, I, you know, stuff that, like, plus it was, like, Maggie in college, like, she wasn't exactly wearing, like, Prada and, like, Gucci stuff. So it wasn't like you could even sell that, like, secondhand market. But, like, you know, she did lose a lot of, like, again, I guess just for date parties and things, she had a ton of costumes. She lost a bunch of that. But yeah, like, literally got stolen, and it was in a hotel parking lot, man.
That's a ballsy move to steal a whole U-Haul, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's auctions for like storage lockers, right? Where you can like be like, oh, we could get treasure trove here. I mean, if that's the case too, I mean, they hit like the absolute worst one. They got like a mattress, probably a bunch of like date party t-shirts from like, you know, the sorority or you and I mean, that's just such a mind app too, to just wake up. Cause like, I feel like, you know, there have been plenty of times in my life where I'm just such a moron when it comes to parking that like, I think I've lost my car or my car has been stolen, but I literally just can't find my car. That's a thing. But to then actually have it stolen, like, poor Joel, like, he probably in his head, but it's also like, it's a U-Haul, dude. It ain't just like, it's not just a, you know, a minivan or crazy, man. But yeah, the police found it and they got back as much as they could. The entire U-Haul process is shocking to me. Like, hey, we're going to give you a car that's literally 3 to 4 times the size of a normal car. Oh, do you need training to drive this car? No, not at all. We're just going to give it to you, and good luck. It's insane. The fact that like we can just give people this vehicle, there's no formal training. Like, it's hard to take certain right, left. Here's the other crazy thing too that I didn't realize until you moved to the Northeast. In the Northeast, literally there are certain like areas, like especially like in New York City, you cannot drive in with a U-Haul because the infrastructure is such that it would take the top off of a U-Haul. So there's like certain routes you have to take if you are in a U-Haul to go through certain areas, because of, again, just, you know, these are 100-plus-year-old cities, and they weren't built under the intention that there was going to be a, you know, 11-foot-plus vehicle driving down there, which is crazy.
Speaking of the Northeast and U-Haul, it's one of the craziest stories. Growing up, my neighbor, to my still my parents' neighbor, his name is Bob Carpenter. He's the play-by-play announcer, the broadcast announcer for the Washington Nationals. And he has been ever since Montreal Expos relocated to Washington, D.C. And he was with the team when the 9/11 attacks happened, right? He was in D.C. And it's like the worst place to be during all of that. And, you know, there was a lot of panic around that. And, you know, airports shut down. You couldn't fly anywhere. Car rentals were all taken. So he was like, I just need to get home. And he just wanted to get out of that area. So the only thing he could find was a big U-Haul truck. And he drove a U-Haul truck from D.C. to Tulsa, which is like days. That's a days long.
Yeah, 16 hours. Probably. Yeah. At least.
Isn't that crazy? Like, that's the only thing he finds. So he drove a U-Haul truck from D.C. to Tulsa.
Golly, that's crazy, man.
Speaking of D.C., I got to bring something up. Something that's really getting my goat. Something that's really popping my popcorn, as they say. They say that. That's the thing they say.
They do say that. It's a very popular phrase.
I'm sick and tired. Who is giving people my number, both on Democrats and Republicans, texting me every single day about pools and who I'm voting for and like telling me to donate for Trump and Kamala? Like, who is texting these numbers back? Because it's clearly working. They wouldn't do it if it doesn't work. Have you ever texted these numbers back?
I think maybe if I give them something, they'll leave me alone. It's insane.
That's not how that works, GC. It's, you don't give a duck a slice of bread and he says, I'm good, thank you. No. He and the rest of all the other ducks are like, he's got the bread. That's exactly what politicians are doing, dude.
They are that selfish duck that just wants more bread.
Yeah, that's what they're doing, man.
The texts are insane, too. They're just like, hi, hey, this is Bob.
I don't know you, Bob.
Bob, I need you. I need you to tell me right now, like, in what world are you, like shaking somebody, like, I need you to tell me who you're voting for.
Rhino!
Like,
I'm Bob, and we can't have those doofuses in office again, and we need your help. I'm like, why don't you go F right off, Bob?
Well, Bob, I was on the fence. But once I got this text from you, I mean, trust me, you, and also, like, that's the other thing, too. It's like, if you're going to shoot me a text, give me some sort of interesting fact or statistic or something more, as opposed to just like, there's, again, there's nothing of substance in these texts.
You know, what it would take for me to respond is, like, if you know, Bob was lonely, he's like, look, Will, I'm going to cut to the chase. I'm lonely. And I just need you to tell me who you're going to vote for. Like, if you tell me, I'm just going to feel a lot better about myself. I think eventually I'll get the courage to tell my dad I love him. Like, I just need you to respond to me, Will. I'll be like, you know what, Bob? All right, I got you this time.
What's coming across is just sheer laziness, Will. There's no creativity. That's the kind of thing that, like, our forefathers would be very upset about. They'd be like, listen, they had used ChatGPT to write the Constitution. They sat and they really thought and they discussed. Same point. I want a big, elaborate, ridiculous text that is going to make me respond yes or no about what candidate I will and will not vote for. And the truth is, I'm not going to tell you anyway, you doofus. So give me something.
Give us something.
Give us something.
All this, like, talk about presidential stuff has always made me think one of the things I think about when it comes to presidents is there anybody on this planet who you can't take a private poop? Have you thought about that before? Like, if Biden needs to take a duke, and let's say, like, it's not one of those, like, normal run-of-the-mill poops. It's like one of those, you know, we were in Korea yesterday. I had something a little too spicy. Like, old Joey B needs to go to the bathroom and, like, pronto.
Well, my question is, like, what level of... Okay, I mean...
What's his security like? He needs to tell people that he needs to go to the bathroom. That would bother me.
But does that mean, like... Okay, so let's say, from a security perspective, then, does that mean that they're just outside of the bathroom? Or does that mean, like, okay, sir, like, you have to take the center stall. We have two dudes on either side of you. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how that works. Like, is that, like, let's say, again, he has to go to the urinal even. Like, is it like, okay, sir, and he goes, and then there's, like, the two dudes on either side just standing there next to him? Like, you better not have any stage fright at that point if you're a presidential. You better be comfortable going to the bathroom in between people, because I think that's what it is.
You know, Secret Service has a name for it, too. Like, it's not like they're like, you know, it's like poop duty, or like, Eel One is dropping a deuce. Like, what do you think they call it?
The eel has left the nest.
But yeah, I just feel like if I was the president, that would be easily my least favorite thing about being president. 4 years of that. 4 years of the team knowing that you're going to the bathroom.
Donald Trump likes puts makeup on potatoes before he eats them. That's right. He actually does makeovers to potatoes. After doing makeovers to potatoes, he proceeds to cook them and eat the potatoes.
Are you talking about the toilet stuff, or are you talking about the text now?
I'm going back to the text. I'm going back to just an absurd.
You didn't even have a segue for that. I'm like, are you describing what's in the toilet? Like, you had me very confused. Secret Service must know, have, like, a lot of, like, very hidden secrets that they can't share with anyone. Probably really great stories.
Oh, I'm sure they have them. And that's the worst. They got all these great stories, and they can't share them. Even though there's all these, like, non-disclosures and stuff, people talk now. Like, people come out, they're like, yeah, I did this, I did, and then they'll admit to, but you never hear those guys ever have a story, right? Like, it must be a whole other level of, like, hey, if you ever say anything, like, you get kicked out of the super secret society. I You would think if you're like, if I was like 85 years old, I'm just kind of like, you know, I got, you know, 10 more years or whatever. I'd be like, all right, let me tell you some, yeah, let me tell you about Ronald Reagan and let me tell you about his bad gas, you know, whatever it is.
And it's an interesting thought. Like, are you under the radar all the way to death if you're Secret Service? What's the payoff of being Secret Service?
Well, I think the benefits, probably what it is you do your time and then you probably get a pretty nice like stipend or something for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? A lot of those government jobs, that's sort of the payoff for doing it. Like, well, the money isn't that great then. You'll get, you know, I don't know, say $100,000 for the rest of your life every year.
Okay, so shifting gears here. So somehow I was listening to Conan, his podcast, and it was an old podcast. And he was talking about the Beatles, right? And he was talking about how he loves the Beatles and all that. And, you know, people that age or parents' age, the Beatles are like the pinnacle of music, right? And I think about, like, in our generation, yeah, people like the Beatles, but we have our version of that. The Beatles aren't necessarily on the pedestal. We have our own version of it. And I told a guy at work who is about our parents' age a long time ago, maybe like 5 years ago, I told him, I said, I think the Beatles are overrated. And his brain melted. And I quickly realized, like, that's a hot take I have. Do you have a take that you really feel strongly? Like, I think the Beatles, maybe they're not overrated, but I don't think, when I listen to them, I don't get this, like, starry-eyed look in my, you know, eyes. Dude, what's your biggest hot take? Mine is, I think the Beatles are overrated.
I mean, I also have that take, and I've said it out loud, and it is one that, like, it is wild. People get really mad. It'd be really funny. I was actually thinking a different thing of, like, you know, since, like, we don't necessarily, like, again, I think the thing with music is, like, everything's so diversified now. Like, there'll never be, you know, I think probably the last hurrah of that may have been in our era, which sort of like there was Michael Jackson and some of that, and then maybe some of those, like the Britney's, like there's probably some of those artists, but now everything's too diversified, so you're never going to have anything like that again. But it would be funny. I think it would be really funny though to, like, if you're talking to somebody who doesn't necessarily know the music from our generation, to really give them some bad intel and be like, you know who's the best band? You're like, Crazy Town. And you show that, come my lady, come, that butterfly song. And you're just like, that's the song that they think, like, yeah, that's like the Beatles.
No, but what is your hot take? I mean, obviously you said the Beatles, like, I actually think we would be beheaded if we said that in England. But, you know, it's something, I think, every generation has their version of, like, putting something on a pedestal so high that we're just supposed to agree with it. The Beatles are good, but they're not like, oh, you know.
I don't like cream cheese on my potatoes. Is that a hot take?
Do you mean sour cream?
Oh, sour cream, yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think anybody does. Putting cream cheese on your potato would be really difficult.
Oh, I just recently became a cream cheese guy.
You didn't used to like cream cheese on your bagel?
Oh, no. I was very anti-cream cheese. And then recently, in the last few months, I've really started leaning into cream cheese.
Yeah, that's a terrible take.
Yeah.
Cream cheese is the best.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So maybe my takes are a little bit more small within my world, but they're equally as offensive to people. I'm like, I don't even know but now I'm learning that I really like cream cheese. So I don't know. That could be it. I know I have a couple of takes because I've expressed them and I've definitely upset people before. I'm just trying to think of what they are.
You know, I always find myself, there's always like a wave of like criticism about things that are so stupid, like Nickelback is the worst. I'm like, I kind of like a few Nickelback songs, or like flip-flops are disgusting. Anyone who wears flip-flops is an idiot. I'm like, I wear flip-flops all the time. I love flip-flops. It's just, I also find myself on the other side of a controversy.
I mean, my hot takes are really bizarre. I mean, they're just very like, I mean, I'll stand by this. I really like Long John Silver's, and a lot of people hate that place, and I think it's delicious. I'll drive. I've driven an hour out of the way.
Oh, you've driven an hour to Long John Silver's?
There was like not one, and I had nothing to do, and I was like, I'm gonna go.
Oh, hold on a second. What does Long John Silver's offer that the greater Philadelphia area didn't have some sort of restaurant that could offer you that?
I love their terrible fit. The best is their fish are like, there's no, it's insane. By the way, everything about that place is insane. Their fish are shaped like,
it's like a diamond, right?
It's, yeah, I guess it's kind of more, it's diamond-esque, but it's also like, I just looked up the shape. I also think it's a parallelogram because it's kind of like slanted a little bit. Like there's no fish swimming around that looks like that. Let me tell you. But I really like the deep fried fish. I think it's delicious.
Well, it might be the fried part that you like more than the fish, right?
I mean, that's a distinct possibility. But people hate Long John Silver's, but I love it.
That's right. Love me those
parallelogram fish.
Yeah, I get it.
All right, duties.
Well, we got to wrap up. We just want to remind you, in addition to having a podcast where you can listen, you can also watch us on YouTube. You can also visit us on a website. If you have any questions or you want to contact us, because we love it when you contact us, at thedudepod.com. And listen, at the end of the day, I think JC could agree, we don't care who you are or where you're from or what you did. Just as long as you love us.
Yep. As long as you love us.
That's it.
Anyway, duties, we love you. Have a fantastic week. And dude on. Just keep doing it so hard.
Just put some pep in that step, babies.